direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So thankful you've tuned in to this Friday session of Abounding Grace Radio. I thought I would have today a discussion on worship. This has always been a big issue. And the fact is that the Lord has given us much instruction in the church with regard to worship. The book of Hebrews tells us that commands us to worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. There's a certain approach to worship that should reverence Him, that should have holy awe over Him. And my great concern today is that we have trampled down the holiness of God and have brought God down to our level, we call immanence, on our level, as if He's just one of us, and we have completely obliterated the classic doctrinal distinction between the creature and the Creator. There is a great gulf that cannot be bridged, and that we by ourselves cannot bridge. Only God bridges that through His Word of His Son. Now, the worship of God then is really important for God's people. And I am genuinely concerned for the souls of those who I believe on a given Sunday in their communities are often being exposed to worship practices that are disobedient to the Word of God. And the sad thing today is that the charge of legalism is so easily flung around that if you have any conviction about anything, you're legalistic, that has become a justification to totally throw out the law of God. Dear radio listener, legalism is not honoring the law out of gratitude. Legalism is saying that you are justified by things that you do. So, the Saddleback model of worship, that is something that thousands of churches are trying to implement on some level in their own communities. I want to break this down a little bit and interact with this model of what's going on today. Years ago, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones warned about using music to manipulate people's emotions. He called this emotional rape, when music is used to bring people into a state of control to manipulate the outcome. You'll see this today as the worship services often begin with 30 minutes or so of praise music to really rev somebody up and bring them into a worshipful state. The problem with this, as I have always tried to emphasize, is that it's not an honest approach to worship. It creates an artificial atmosphere because it's often not grounded in the truth. It appeals to a certain, what R.L. Dabney once called, animal instinct in the person, having almost the kind of effect that drug use imposes upon the body as it brings people into an elevated state. When you come down, nothing lasting has really occurred. In fact, the more one hits a low, the higher one seeks to go with the next dose. And just like that, these churches are constantly in constant stress to make the worship experience something greater than the last one. You're constantly moving to something else to enhance this experience. The same can be true with music. It very much panders to emotions, and emotions are often extremely misleading. One of the striking features of the actual songbook that God inspired for us, the Psalms, the Psalter, is that it presents all different kinds of psalms for worship. Lamentation, imprecatory psalms, messianic psalms, praise psalms. I tried to imagine, you know, the Jews would sing these psalms as they entered worship. I tried to imagine singing in one of these current day Saddleback modeled churches, something like Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. and in the night season, and am not silent. That's honest, isn't it? It's an honest struggle about life, about the hardships of life, about the trials of life, about what people often experience in their relationships with the Lord. God's people used to sing these laments in worship when they had these very hard realities of life. The Psalms are honest about life, giving perspective about hardship, trials, afflictions, sufferings. These are real experiences of people expressed in the Psalter to raise our afflictions to the forefront, then to be transformed by praise. Very important. There's a point at which we are transformed by praise. You know, today, in many churches, you have emphasis on all their different ministries they offer. And these ministries, take the Haiti example, you'll have churches that will put pressure on their people to really be involved with the Haiti repair and all these sort of things, which are good and right and we should do. These ministries deal with the hard realities of life, right? That's why people give, because we're blessed, we want to help others. I wonder if people think through the inconsistency of what's actually often happening in their worship experiences, though. Nothing about their services ever really depict or show that we are part of that hard reality of life. Even when we gather for worship, that we are facing trials and afflictions as a wilderness people. In other words, oftentimes the services become a great mask to cover up everything that people face as soon as they leave the service. Did you get that? Worship services often become a giant mask, a cover-up to everything that people face as soon as they leave the service. Worship in this scenario becomes a sort of tonic to avoid the realities of sin and suffering that people face in life. The lights, the music, the drums, the worship center, the stage, the espresso bar, all these things all provide a temporary escape, not just from the consequences of living in a fallen world, but also from the realities of the wounds within us. Everything often advertised today about worship is that the worship services today are inspiring and uplifting and life-giving. In what way? You know, making the claim of being life-giving is something only attributed to Christ himself. By what method does this life come? The entertainment style service today makes an assumption that all we need for our life struggle is just a good amount of encouragement. The applications of worship assume that our greatest problem is that we've just been derailed from being all that God really wants us to be. It's the old army slogan, isn't it? Be all that you can be. In other words, worship today, especially the music, is being used to manipulate what God actually says is our real problem and our real need. Instead, we end up pandering to what people want. And when we do this, we never give them what they actually need. The tragedy to this, dear listener, is that so many people cannot see that they are involved in these false forms of worship. Does all the pomp and glitter really give us life? We don't see this cover up any stronger in the way today that praise songs are implemented. Take one of these basic songs that we hear that today are used to rev up people into this worshipful sort of state. Notice the endless repetition. Repetition, by the way, the Lord completely condemned in the Bible. Vain repetitions. But think of just a general one. I stand in awe. 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 I stand in awe of you. The question that you want to ask when you hear that is, why do you stand in awe? The endless repetition of these praise songs today not only ignores Jesus' warning of trying to manipulate God to hear us by our many words, but they leave us without a basis for offering praise. Think about it. The Bible presents praise as a response to the reception of some mighty act of deliverance the Lord has accomplished for us. Take one of the praise songs in the Psalter. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The basis for my praise comes, in this case, from God's wonderful forgiveness, his healing, his redemption, his provision. I don't work those realities up within me. Did you get that? It's never, I hear this so commonly said, I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. The call to praise is always connected to an act of God's sovereign workings on behalf of his people at some point in redemptive history. Thus, when a church begins worship with the first 20 minutes of praise music, all you really have done is falsely elevate the people's emotions. There really has been no place given to have the truth as it is in Jesus be our guiding light. Why do I say that, dear listener? Because our singing is not a means of grace. What is a means of grace? A means of grace is something that descends upon us that God gives to us. Grace is something that we receive. Grace is something that comes from God's hand. But music is a response to the grace already given to us. This is so important. We're beginning today with the wrong assumption that real uplifting worship elevates us to God first through music, instead of God graciously condescending to us in his word. You see, this approach is wrong. This is backwards. Our praise, our singing, our prayer, our giving of alms, our giving of gifts is always in response to his nearness to us in the word spoken. For this reason, Protestants have always believed worship is to be a dialogue between us and God. It begins with God. His word fills the scripture, the worship service. His scripture is spoken by the one whom God sent. This is important. This is very important. God speaks in calling us to worship. We respond in prayer and in singing. God speaks to us in his word. We respond in giving a gift and singing his praises. That's the point. You see, often the one who is left out of worship today is God himself, as everything is focused on us. The man side today of worship is filled with practices more appropriate to the theater than what is appropriate to worship a holy God. As Calvin said, our hearts are idol factories. Because of this, we create new idols to worship in the place of the true God. All true worship must reverence God and regard him as holy. We must follow the guidelines given in the Word and not what the Apostle Paul condemns under the inspiration of the Spirit, doing those things which tickle men's ears. So, dear radio listener, what are you hearing today? May you have the truth be as it is in Jesus, your guiding light. And may you worship him today with reverence and awe, in spirit and in truth, for our God is a consuming fire. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.